this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Father, I'm wanting us to look at a passage that most of us probably know really, really well. If we were to go around and ask people what the most famous passage is, I think the one we're going to look at now is probably one of, is right up there in the top five. Every unbeliever knows parts of this passage. Everyone who's ever heard anything about Scripture has heard something around this passage. Normally when we talk about being well fed, we probably think of in terms of the Word of God, and we should feed on His every day. He says it's bread, and we should ask God for our daily bread. Man should not live on bread alone, but in every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That as a shepherd, as a pastor, because that's exactly what a shepherd is, or pastor is, as a shepherd, one of the things that I pray often is that everyone that God entrusts to my care, to our care as a church, that you'd be well fed, that no one would be hungry spiritually, that you'd be fed physically, but more than that, that we'd be fed, physically and spiritually, that our cups would run over, as David says. Today I'm wanting us just to look at that same, but from a little bit of a different angle. And the passage I'm wanting us to start off with is 1 Corinthians 13. Many of us know it, the love chapter. And the next couple of weeks, well, not next week, when many of you are away, we'll take a break. But when you guys get back from the holiday, we'll carry on with this a little bit. 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to delve into it a little bit and look at what it says. Because while it says much about love, and that's what we normally take out of 1 Corinthians 13, we all know it's the love chapter. Love never fails. Love does no wrong. There's so much else that this 1 Corinthians 13 speaks about and speaks into. And so often when we read it, we just glance over it and we just see love, 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 love everywhere. And we miss so much of the depth that is in this passage. The last verse is 1 Corinthians 13:13. It says, "And now abide faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love." In church, we'd spend a lot of time talking about faith, and we should. Spoke about it at the beginning of the year, the faith challenge, the challenge that Jesus looked at his disciples. He said, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes," Jesus says, "when I come back, will I really find faith on the earth? Are we believers? Are we people of faith? Are we people who in the face of contrary circumstances still choose to believe? When everything around us is saying no, but we know God is saying yes, who do we lean towards? Do we put our faith in Jesus? Are we willing to stand up and say, God, that my life is a mess, my marriage is a mess, my career is a mess, my family is a mess, I am a mess, but God, I choose to put my faith in you that you can fix it." People of faith. We speak about faith a lot, and obviously we should. In church, we speak about love a lot, and we should, because love is important. Love is kind. 1 Corinthians 13 gives us all these definitions about love. All of, expands, because love is so much more than what most of us typically think in terms of just an emotion or a feeling. Love isn't an emotion. Love is not a feeling. You know that when it 2 o'clock in the morning, your baby hasn't been sleeping yet, and is still screaming, and the neighbors are knocking on your door because the baby is screaming. Fortunately, it's not happened to us, but being close, I guess. And right now, all you want to do is sleep. And right now, you don't have a feeling of love oozing out towards that kid. You don't feel, "Oh, you're so cute, so nice. Can I just play with your cheeks a little bit?" That's not a 2:30 in the morning when we haven't slept for a week's type of feeling. But that is love. That I'm willing to go through this pain and this suffering. I'm willing to stand up and not sleep because I love this child. And at times, love is that warm, fuzzy emotion, but love is so much more than that warm, fuzzy emotion which we feel, which we have at time to time. One of the interesting conversations we have with engaged couples is That love isn't a feeling. It's great feeling in love, and you should be in love. But at some stage in your marriage, you're not going to feel in love. At some stage in your marriage, something's going to happen where you're not going to feel in love with this person. But there's going to be a decision and a heart to love. And you make that decision to love despite the fact that you don't feel in love. And in the world, that's why so many marriages fall apart, is because we misunderstand in love and love. And when the in love goes away, we think the love is gone and the marriage is finished. No. When the in love is away, that's when love begins to prosper and love begins to flourish. Because we're in love because of, but we love despite. We love despite shortcomings. We love despite inadequacies. We love despite failures. We're in love because of the pretty things, but we love despite the not so pretty things. And there's a reality for many of you who are single here today that you're not going to marry a perfect person. And they're not going to marry a perfect person. And one day, probably the first day that you wake up on the marriage bed, you realize, I've married a sinner. They're not perfect. They don't think like you think. That was one of the big revelations that I got. And I knew it beforehand, but then when I realized it, then I knew it, is that I didn't marry myself. And you laugh a little bit about that, but we all think we're going to marry ourselves. We all think we're going to marry someone who thinks like I think, who wants what I want, who talks like I talk, who plans like I plan, who holidays like I holiday, who relaxes like I relax, who works like I work. Me, just in a different body. And then one day you wake up and you realize, I haven't married myself. They don't think like I think. They don't work like I work. They don't operate like I operate. They don't eat like I eat. They don't eat when I eat. They don't go to bed when I go to bed. They don't wake up when I wake up. Faith and love. We spend a lot of time talking about in church. It's curious to me, though, that in between those two, there's another word that Scripture holds before us. Hope. And in church, we don't spend nearly enough talking about hope. In the New King James, the word hope appears, I think, 151 times. Scripture speaks about a hope over and over and over and over. As church, we should be ministering into the area of hope, because you know, so often we live in a hopeless society. Societies that have lost hope. We speak to hopeless people. People who have lost hope. But watch what Hebrews writes here. No book to the Hebrews, the author writes and he says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And right here what he goes and he ties two beautiful concepts together. This concept of hope. This concept of light at the end of the tunnel. It's going to be okay. We all know that. At the end, it's all going to be okay in the end. If it's not okay, it's not the end. It's going to be okay. For myself, I'm a perpetual optimist. And my wife isn't because I didn't marry myself. It's interesting to see that not everyone is. I just thank God for the way He wired me. My mom always laughs when she tells the stories, but I was born full of hope. As a little boy, my feet were all messed up, and I was really small, a couple of months old, and just started kind of moving around, and then I had to do this big operation on my feet. And I was up and cast all the way up to my hips over here with a pole in between. And the doctors had told my mom, just put him somewhere and don't worry, he won't move. My mom tells a story and she always laughs. I was crawling around the house. I found a way just to find life, to find a hope in it. I thank God that He's put that inside of me. It's bad news for me as a sports supporter because, you know, we can be 50 down and there's 2 minutes left on the clock and somehow my head thinks we're still going to win this. My friends at school always hated me. because I'd be egging them on. The game would be long gone. We'd be 7-0 down in a hockey match or whatever. Didn't happen too often, fortunately, but it did once or twice. And I'd be, come on, we can still win. And they're like, no, we can't. Let it go. It's finished. But in church, we should be talking about a hope. We can still win. Because I love what Scripture says here, that our hope is, in the next passage there, our hope is not based in ourselves. Our hope is not based in our ability to make this thing work. Our hope is based in the fact that He who has promised is faithful. We talk about faith a lot. We talk about faithfulness a lot. We talk about the fact that as believers we should be faithful. But I think sometimes we miss talking about the fact that the God we serve is faithful. He is faithful beyond measure. And if He's promised something, He is faithful. What is our hope tied into? Our hope is tied into what Abraham's hope was tied into. Our hope is tied into what Moses' hope was tied into. Our hope is tied into what Joshua's hope was tied into, what David's hope was tied into. Everyone in Scripture, as they talk about hope, and we're going to look at some of those passages now, they're always tied back into hope in God. He is faithful. You know, we can feel hopeless about our country, and some people probably do at the moment. Once again, I don't feel hopeless. Because the light might not be shining always, but there is a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. There's a light that shines in the darkness, and there's lots of space for that to work in South Africa at the moment. And the darkness does not comprehend it. South Africa's got much darkness physically at the moment, spiritually, morally. But there's a light that shines in the darkness, and we hope in that. We hope for a better future. We hope for a great, glorious outcome because we serve a great, glorious God. But I want us today just to look at a little bit of God's faithfulness. Firstly, 2 Timothy chapter 2. It is who He is. This is a faithful saying. If we died with Him, that's with Christ, we shall also live with Him. How's that for a great incentive to just lay down who we are? Because then we shall live with Him. If we endure, we shall reign with Him. Let me just pause there. Sometimes, and we do Christians a little bit of a disservice at times, because we say, put up your hand, come to the front, we're going to pray with you, and everything's going to be sorted out, and your life's going to be okay. No. An invitation to come to Christ, as one of the early father, church fathers said, is an invitation to come and die. To lay our lives down. But it's also an invitation to endurance, to pressing on, to keep on keeping on. To when other people are stopping, to not get caught by the wayside, but to just keep on keeping on. That we should endure. Scripture's full of passages like that. But no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. That for us to enter into the kingdom, there's an endurance that's required. There's an ability to press on. That when times get a little bit tough, it's not the time for the Christian to throw in the towel. It's time for the Christian to press in, to press harder, to say, God, in You, I will endure because my strength comes from the Lord. So Paul writes to Timothy, he says, Timothy, die with Christ because then you'll live with Him. Endure, press on because then you'll reign with Him. Don't deny Him because if we deny Him, He will also deny us. And some people still struggle with that concept. But Scripture is really clear about that. In another place it says that if we confess Him before people around us, then He will confess us Jesus will confess us before the Father and His holy angels. If we deny Him, He will deny us. You see, God doesn't have... We love thinking of a God who is just perfect and great, and He's so warm and He's so fuzzy, and He doesn't really mind how much we mess up and how much we insult Him and how much we push Him away. He's just always warm and fuzzy towards us. That's not the God of Scripture. His love is always towards us. His hand is always an arm of extension of grace and mercy. But there are passages like this that we are confronted with, that if we deny Him, He will deny us. That if we choose to not acknowledge His work within our lives, He'll respond appropriately. But then look at this next bit, which fascinates me every time. But if we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. You see, His character, who He is a faithful God. God cannot ever be unfaithful. There are a couple of things that God cannot do, and this is one of them. God cannot be unfaithful. It's His character. He cannot deny Himself. Who He is a faithful God. His faithfulness is great. Lamentations, through the Lord's mercies rather, we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion and my soul, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in Him. It's amazing how we use that word great in our modern vocabulary. Everything is great. How was your meal? Great. How was the lecture? Great. How was the test? Great. How was the date? Hopefully great. How was the cricket game? Great. How was the rugby? Great. How's your dad? Great. It's a word that we just use to describe everything. Part of the sadness is when we use words like great and awesome and inspired, which have incredibly powerful connotations for mundane things, the words become mundane. The connotation becomes mundane. Our understanding of them becomes mundane. Great is not a mundane word. It's not meant to be a mundane word. When Scripture says, great is Your faithfulness, it means that His faithfulness exceeds our human understanding and our boundaries. It's not just normal. It's not just good. It's great. It's beyond what we can fathom. It's something worth singing about. It's something worth exalting. It's something worth lifting high. It's something worth proclaiming. It's something worth meditating and holding on to. His faithfulness is great. It's infallible. Nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from Him. He's talking about a bunch of destruction that's going to come upon people who dishonor God. But my loving kindness I will not utterly take from Him, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. God's faithfulness cannot fail. This week again, I was just astounded at God's faithfulness. That what He has said, He is able to perform, and He will perform it. David in the Psalms, as he writes about God's faithfulness, it's amazing to me how often he starts, and David, I think, was bipolar, depressive type of person. And I really honestly think that typical artist, up and down, very emotional, and he'll start these Psalms, and he'll be like, God, I'm surrounded. They're going to kill me. They're going to wipe me out. No one is for me. Everyone is trying to destroy me. There's no hope left in this life, Lord. God, suicide is better than just breathing and carrying on in this nothingness. And that's what he's writing. But then in the midst of these Psalms, they would always turn. And then we look at some of these passages now. He'll say things like, but hope in the Lord. Because His faithfulness endures forever. And so often in our lives, we find ourselves in those same situations, the situations where we feel overwhelmed and we feel that the world is just too big, we cannot carry on. We find ourselves in the situations where my hope is not coming to pass. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, Scripture says. And I hope that is deferred, that gets extended, that not coming closer, our hearts grow sick and grow tired. And it's important to remember messages like this today, that His faithfulness is infallible. It cannot fail. That the one thing God can never be is unfaithful. That His faithfulness is great, greater than any situation we're facing. Psalm 72, David again writing, and he says, for You are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. I have become as a wonder to many. Not in a good sense. That's in a bad sense. People think I'm a freak is what he's saying. But you are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. We looked at that verse 8 a couple of months ago in the message that we spoke about the fact that we're called to his glory. Let my mouth and my praise be filled with your glory all the day. Watch what he says before that. He says, God, your faithfulness is enduring. This is the same David who writes that you formed me in my mother's womb. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And here he says, God, you took me out of my mother's womb and you sustained my whole life. And the reason I am where I am today is because of your faithfulness, God. Your faithfulness knows no end. Your faithfulness carries on. It's enduring. Psalm 42 verse 5. Great example of what I was speaking about just now of David. He says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. His faithfulness is not always apparent. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations and we're looking around for help and for hope, and it's not to be seen. It's there. It's not that his faithfulness has departed from us. It's not that his faithfulness isn't in the room anymore. It's just, right now, God, I can't see it. And that's what David is saying here to himself. He's saying to his soul, why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. You see, his soul is looking around. His emotion is looking around for that fillip. It's looking around for that thing to stir him, to encourage him, to say, keep going. And he's looking around for that word of encouragement, that word of prophecy. He's looking around for that friend to come and hug him, give him a high five. Say, David, it's going to be okay. But it's not there. And his soul is disquieted. He feels there's no hope. Except he has an understanding of the character of God built, engraved within him. And he rises up from that and he says, hope in the Lord. Hope in him. You can hope in him. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance, of his face. When his face shines upon me, it's going to help me. And right now it's not shining, but that doesn't change anything about the fact that it's about to. And I'm going to hope in that. Hope in God. 1 Thessalonians 5. His faithfulness is intensely personal. He who calls you is faithful. Who also will do it? What will he do? Well, he will do whatever he has promised. He will complete the good work that he has started. He is able to present you faultless before the coming of his glory. He is able to lift you up and to hold you in his hands, and he will do it. He has called you as faithful. 2 Thessalonians, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. He is faithful. He's able to do all of that. He will continue to do all of that. Psalm 92, David again. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp, with harmonious sound. Our song should be of his faithfulness. I love that song, and we sang it tonight again. He is faithful. It's become an anthem of sorts for our church over the last year. One of the songs that just so resonates with what God has been doing in our midst, because he is faithful. He is intensely faithful. His faithfulness knows no ends. His faithfulness will continue and continue and continue. His faithfulness is great and it's glorious. And it should be our song. I wonder how many of us at night, when we go get on our beds, we do what David says here. That it's good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. To declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. with all of those musical instruments. To sing, He is faithful. He is glorious, and all of my hope is in Him. We should be doing that. We should be teaching ourselves to sing. One of the first things that I do when I speak to people who are going through dark times, and all of us go through that at times, and that's okay. I think one of the biggest lies the enemy holds before us is that I'm a failure or I'm weak if the sun isn't shining in my life right now. Don't buy that for a moment. So many people struggle with intense darkness. And that's why Jesus says His light shines in the darkness. But sometimes first we need to find ways to let that light shine in our darkness. I want to encourage you, if you're going through dark times, get help. Ask someone to pray with you. Talk through it. Sometimes we need to go to psychologists and psychiatrists, and we need to get the help that's available to us to let that light shine, in a sense. And that's nothing to be ashamed of and nothing to be embarrassed of. But one of the first things that I would say to people, because there are times when it's medical, it's bad, and it needs treatment, sometimes it's just bad habits. One of the things that I always ask people is, what music are you listening to? What music are you listening to? I'm listening to Adele about how depressed she is because her life's falling apart. And how dark, and there's no hope, and she's never going to find a guy, and life is so empty and pointless. Do you know the reality is that becomes our meditation? Can I illustrate to you the power of song in a moment? You're going to hate me for it. There's a song a while ago about a Barbie girl. Does anyone remember that song? Something along the lines of, I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world. Life in plastic. It's, there we go, Carly, she's getting the groove. It's fantastic, right? You can brush my hair. How does it go after that? Undress me everywhere, life in plastic, whatever. Come on, Barbie, let's go party. Anyone remember that song? Who's never heard that song before? Like, all of us have heard it. Do you know I've got some really bad news for you? Do you know what you're going to be singing for the rest of this week? Come on, Barbie, let's go party, huh? It's weird how music has the ability to carry in our lives. You're going to be sitting, studying, driving to work, in traffic. I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world. It's going to pop into your head. One of the reasons why Scripture's so committed to our music, to our song, to what we're carrying. Music has an incredible way that's just undefined, and you'll never be able to explain it except that it is so to speak to our souls. We've all experienced at various moments and times in our life. Something that God ingrained, God created, God made it to be so. It's one of the ways He connects with us is through music. He designed it that way. We need to understand, we need to be aware of what is our song. We need to be deliberate around our song. There's certain stuff that you just don't need to listen to. In the same way that there's certain stuff that you don't need to eat. Hopefully some of us have realized that. There's some stuff which you just don't need to eat ever. Then there's some stuff with, like cyanide. You know, it's not good to eat it ever. Then there's some stuff which is good to eat, but probably not all the time. Like a McFlurry. And then there's stuff to eat that is wholesome and healthy and you can eat all the time. Like a Big Mac. But for every one of us, our bodies have different tolerances. There are different things that we can eat and we're fine with it, and different things when we eat it, we just know I should not have eaten that. The input that we receive is the same, the movies we watch. Some people can watch a movie and they'll be fine. Other people go watch a movie and they'll have nightmares for a week and a half about the movie. What's the simple solution? If you're going to have the nightmares about the movie, don't watch the movie. It's as simple as that. Don't try and be brave. Just don't watch the movie. Musically, it's the same, that there's some music we all have different tolerance for, that some of us would just stay away from. You know, going there is bad for your soul. And there's other music which is okay to listen to from time to time, but too much of it is going to be bad for you. And there's other wholesome music, music that edifies, music that lifts you up. And David says, you know what some of that music should be? Is music centered around his faithfulness, around his goodness. Where you meditate, you're singing on it, and as you're singing about his faith, he is faithful. When you're singing that, it gets into your spirit and it sticks there. And rather than driving in the car, worried about the presentation at work, and you're stressed out because you're probably going to get fired if this goes badly, and whatever else may be going on, instead of thinking, I'm a Barbie girl in the Barbie world, you're thinking, he is faithful. But what he has promised, he is able to do, and that song gets stuck in your spirit, and that becomes our song. He is faithful. So where does the feeding bit get into it? Being well fed. Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. We should be living on his faithfulness. We should be going into situations knowing that God is faithful and that is my food. That is what sustains me. That is what strengthens me. That is what encourages me. Yes, I'm feeding on the fact that he is faithful to provide, but I'm also just feeding on the fact that he is faithful, and that's what keeps my spirit going. My God is faithful. It strengthens me. It encourages me. I dwell in the land and I do good. I trust in the Lord and I do good. I dwell in the land and I feed on his faithfulness. And then this passage that many of us know so well, delight yourself also in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of your heart. But the also is important. Delight yourself also. Normally we say, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. You know, you're misquoting scripture when you say that. Who said that to someone? Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Who said that? We've all misquoted scripture. I've said that. That's not what scripture says. Delight yourself also. That's the addition. What's the bit before that? Trust in the Lord. Do good. Dwell in the land. Feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also and he will give you the desires of your heart. There's something about feeding on the faithfulness of God. Meditating on it, strengthening ourselves in it. Allowing him to encourage us, to give us hope. Because at the end of the day, that's what we're talking about today, is hope. Now remain three: faith, hope, and love. Some of us lose hope because we look to things of this world. We look to people. We look to examples, great men or great women perhaps even. We look to idols in the natural. We look to our finances. We look to our governments. And we lose hope when those wheels fall off. And the bad news, if you haven't realized this, the wheels are always going to fall off somewhere for all of them. But hope in the Lord. Because he is faithful. I love what Psalm 130 says. I remember getting a CD, just as I come to the faith. And on there is a really beautiful song that many of us have sung, You Are My King, Jesus, You Are My King. And sort of in the midst is an interlude, and this lady comes up and she reads this passage. It's one of those passages that since then have just stuck with me. Because it's set to music. And the simple fact that it was set to music meant that after listening to two or three times, it got stuck in my head, got stuck in my spirit. Passage that has encouraged me no end so many times and says, if you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word, I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning of Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him there is abundant redemption. Hope in the Lord. And that bit at the end, keep hoping in him. Why? with Him, there is abundant redemption. I love how it starts. It says, if you should mark iniquity, O Lord, who could stand? What is that saying? Well, God, if you had a little notepad and you were counting all my sins, all my mess-ups, God, who could stand? Nobody would be able to stand against that mega list that my life would produce. Your list might be a little bit smaller than my mega list, but no one would be able to stand. But with you, there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. But with you, Lord, forgiveness. God, that list, you know what God loves doing to that list? He loves throwing it away. So encouraged by my daughter, she's in this phase where she just can't color in enough. Driving in the car, she's coloring. Coming to church, she's coloring in. We get home, she's coloring in all the time. This morning, she was coloring in a witch in the coloring in book. So kind of we had a conversation. We said, you could color in the witch. It's probably not a problem coloring in the witch, but witches aren't cool. We don't really like witches, but if you want to color in a witch, don't have too much of a problem with that. The next thing, I come back into the room, and she's torn out the page, scrumpled it up. She's throwing in the dustbin because we don't like witches. God loves doing that with our pieces of paper, with the lists that we have. With Him, there is forgiveness. He's not counting our sins. He's not counting our, with you, there is forgiveness. He is faithful to forgive. As much as I love that, I love the second bit of it even more. Because then it goes on to say, Lord, I wait for you. More than the watchman wait for the morning. And I was talking about the Deernach thing just now with the kids. This is what's happening. Yeah? You've got guys, their job is to stand on the tops of the wall of the city around, or the wall around the city, and they're standing on the watchtowers, and they're watching. They're making sure that no danger is going to come and attack the city at night, because obviously during the day, you can see the guards coming from far. At night, it's dark, and you can't see the guards coming from far, so someone has to be watching. Someone has to be specifically looking. I don't know if you've ever done something like that. But an hour before sunrise, it gets hard. You get tired. It says, more than watchmen are waiting for the morning. More than they're saying, come let the sun, because the moment the sun rises, not only can I go to sleep, I can relax. I don't have to be so attentive to looking to the protection of these people. More than the watchmen wait for the morning, my soul waits for you, O Lord. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning, oh, hope in the Lord. Why should we hope in Him? Because with Him, there is mercy. That's pretty good news. Ties into the forgiveness, but there's also abundant redemption. You see, God is faithful to redeem. What does that mean? It means that God doesn't only sort of wipe away, tear out that page in our lives, scrumple it up, throw it in the dustbin. But He goes back and he redeems. He makes it better. He fixes it. He restores it abundantly. You see, more than our mess-ups could ever mess it up, His fix-up can fix it up. Doesn't matter how much we've messed it up, His fix-up can fix it up better. And that, for me, is pretty awesome. That, for me, is pretty encouraging. That His faithfulness means it doesn't matter how much I've messed this thing up, it's not messed up beyond repair. We lived in a thunderstorm belt when I grew up, and we had many lightning strikes in our house. And a couple of times, something would get struck by lightning, and you'd take it to the electronic repair shop, and then a day or two later, you go back to get the quote. And more often than not, there was a sticker on there. NWF. Not worth fixing. Buy a new one, this thing is toast. Sometimes in life, we look at where we are, where we've been. We want to put out a sticker, write NWF on it, and stick it on our life. Stick it on that relationship. Stick it on that circumstance. Say, God, this thing is fried. It's a write-off. And then God looks at that thing and says, no. Nothing is not worth fixing when God's involved. He can fix all of it. With Him is abundant redemption. Many of us would know Jeremiah 29. I don't think it's on the slides. Verse 11. You know, it's sort of the default passage nowadays if you want to encourage someone. And now I've forgotten it. I know the plans I have for you. I know the thought I think towards you, says the Lord. Plans of to give you a prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. That's how God's heart towards us. He wants to give you a hope and He wants to give you a future. He's looking down in this afternoon. All I'm wanting us to take from today, and it's not deep theology, it's not massive practical teaching. It's this time sometimes where we just need to stop and just talk about who God is. And whatever situation we find ourselves in this week, to know, God, You are faithful. God, I've messed it up. It doesn't matter. You're faithful. God, I don't know how to do this. God, I don't know how to step out. God, You're faithful. God, I need a massive breakthrough. God, You know, I've done everything I can. I've done the best I can. And I haven't totally messed it up, except that I can't fix it because it's just a messed up situation. But God, You can fix it. You're faithful. God, my boss and I aren't getting along, and I really did the very best I did, but it's not working. God, You're faithful. God, my degree is falling apart. God, I don't even know where to turn anymore. But God, You are faithful.
You move mountains when You speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. There is no one like